Okay, as always, the third Shabbat Lidish, Master of Gershom, and Rabbi Dave. This week's Parsha is Chukas. One of the central stories of this week's Parsha is the famous story of May Meriva. And perhaps tonight we'll look at two dimensions of the story. A dimension of the story, which is the unfortunate circumstances of May Meriva, from which Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen were unable to go into Eretz Yisrael. What was the tzivoy? What were they meant to do? What did they do? And then, maybe we'll even answer a question as to why at times when we're davening for compassion from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we mention Moshe and Aaron and their connection to May Meriva in order to bring about compassion for Klal Yisrael, which seems to be a direct steerer to the way the Torah describes the story. Let's begin with a few questions, and Be'ez Hashem, these are questions which we'll explain using the Kli Yochar and Rav Shimon Schwab and his Sefer Mayan Be'ez HaShaiva, which complement one another in how they understand this story. The first question, the Chari, that we have to ask is, ultimately, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu to hit the rock with a stick, meaning he didn't want him to do what he had asked him to do in Parshas B'Shalach, when they first got the Be'er of Mayim. And at that time, when they first got the Be'er of Mayim, Moshe Rabbeinu was told to take his matah, which Rashi tells us was made from this unique type of stone or wood that was called Samperinoin, that would be able to break into rock. And Moshe Rabbeinu was to take that matah elokim that he had had and to use it and to hit the rock from which water would come out. In which case, the assumption would be, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to take a matah with him now, that he wanted him to hit the rock as well. And seeing as we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, no, v'dibartem el asera, and don't hit the rock, well then for what purpose did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him to take a matah? It says, kaches hamatah, take the matah. For what purpose? Secondly, what does the Torah mean when it tells us, kaches hamatah? As if referring to a matah that we know about, a well-known matah. And Moshe Rabbeinu, when he listens to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told him, it says, Vayikach Moshe es hamateh melifnei Hashem. He takes the matah from in front of Hashem. Where had this matah been before that it now came from in front of Hashem? And we're told he does it, Ka'asher tzivo, like he had been commanded. Well, we know that. That was the last pasuk. Obviously, he's been commanded to do that. Furthermore, what did Moshe Rabbeinu mean when he called Klal Yisrael Moirin, Shimuna HaMoirin? Why did he use that description for Klal Yisrael out of all other descriptions? And furthermore, when eventually Moshe Rabbeinu does hit the rock, there it says, Vayore Moshe es yode vayaches asera b'matehu, not b'mateh. What's going on again? Klal Yisrael have lost the Be'er Shel Miriam, resulting from the death of Miriam, the Schus, in whose chus we had the Be'er went away. And Klal Yisrael had no water. Interestingly to note, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no taina on them complaining for what they complained over here. There's no taina on Klal Yisrael, because when someone is worried about the lack of water for them and their family, then it can be understood that they would be complaining. And there's no taina on Klal Yisrael for having complained over here about the lack of water. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to go and bring back the water for Klal Yisrael, but I want this to be a Kiddush Hashem. There is a complaint over here. I want that complaint to be dealt with. And I want you to go to Klal Yisrael in a particular way. From the way the Pasuk describes the matah that Moshe Rabbeinu actually took, Vayikach Moshe es hamateh melifnei Hashem, we are only told about one other matah that was lifnei Hashem. And that is in last week's parasha, the matah of Aaron HaKohen, which had grown on it parochim, tzitzim, shkedim. It had on it beautiful blossoms, buds, and almonds. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, put that matah back inside next to the aron. And when he told him to do that, he told Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm asking you to do this for a specific purpose. I want you to take it, said HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Nasik's Parshim, Parshas Korach, Vayema Hashem and Moshe, Hoshev is Mate Aaron Nifnei Ha'idus. Go and put the Mate Aaron inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim in front of the Ored. Lemishmeres, it should be a safekeeping. Leois livnei meri, as a sign for people who are rebelling or complaining. Uschaltlu noisom me'oloi, and that will cause a subsiding of their complaints against me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here wanted Moshe Rabbeinu not to take the Matar Elohim that he had used for the Esemakos, that he had had with him by Kriyas Yamsuf, that he had had with him when he smashed the rock the first time in Paras Peshalach when they got in. Not that Matar of Sanpurinim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Moshe Rabbeinu, and says this is the name of the Chizkuni, the Rishon, the Chizkuni says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to take the Matar of Aaron, HaMatar, which was Lifnei Hashem. And when he described the Matar, the well-known Matar, Moshe Rabbeinu understood that as being the matter that's in front of Hashem. Why? Because at this point, Klal Yisrael have a complaint. You've brought us to a situation in the Midbar where we don't have water, and this is a desert, and what are we meant to do for us and our families? So Moshe Rabbeinu understood when the Rabbeinu Shlom said, I want you to go here and take a matter, and you're to speak to the seller. Well, if I'm meant to speak to it, for what purpose do I have to take a matter? It's obviously not to hit it. And therefore I don't need the Matar Elohim, which is made out of Sanpurinim. Which Matar do I need? The other well-known Matar that is, Lifnei Hashem, the one of Aaron HaKohen. And for what purpose did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want him to take this Matar? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to bring out a dried, something that had been a totally dried out piece of wood. With absolutely no moisture in it whatsoever. And yet, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, it developed within it moisture, and out of that piece of wood grew flowers, blossoms, grew buds, and grew almonds. Take that with you and hold it in your hand and let Klal Yisrael see that you are holding that matter. Because that matter is the one that I told you that if you're ever going to have complaints from Klal Yisrael, this will be Lois Livnei Meri Yuschaltu Noitho Me'oloi. This will be a sign to them that they have nothing to complain about. Just as when they came closer to, when this piece of wood came close to Kedusha, came close to the Shinah, then it began to flower, it began to blossom, it began to bud, it began to give fruits, and it did it all the way from a completely dried out piece of wood. So too, Klal Yisrael should know that lachluchis, the water, the mayim, is provided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that can happen here as well. And therefore you to go with that, to reinvigorate within Klal Yisrael their munah that they had from this last story of the matter of Aaron HaKohen, and take that with you, and then go and speak to the seller. Do not hit it. So Moshe Rabbeinu went, and he spoke to the seller. And it didn't. Vayikach Moshe samata milifnei Hashem. He took that matter milifnei Hashem kashe tzivo. Vayakilu Moshe Aaron es hakol el pnei asola. Vayomer Elohim, and he said to them, Shimu no ha-moirim. Why did he use this terminology of moirim? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told him about the matter Aaron, that it would be an ois livnei meri. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to take that stick now and use it as a sign when I'm going to hit the rock, why did he tell me to put it in the Aron in the first place? Keep this matter that it will always be for you as an ois livnei meri when you're having a rebellion or you're having complaints. So he said, Shimuna ha-moirim. Listen, you moirim. Do you not remember that when I had to put this back in front of the Aron inside the Mishkan, it was there for people who would be moirim against HaKadosh Baruch Hu or moirim against something that I'm doing? And therefore look at it and remember that you don't have to complain. You just need to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And just like that matter of Aaron HaKohen, which was a dried out piece of wood, Venosan Meimov, it gave its water, it became moist and things grew out of it, so too you should do over here. However, they came and they spoke and nothing happened. So Moshe Rabbeinu thought that maybe, okay, Klal Yisrael are not on the Madrega of being able to hear it from just having the water bringing to them from just hearing Divrei Torah spoken by the seller. And instead, Vayore Moshe es yodoi, Vayach es ha-sela b'matehu. He hit the seller with his Sanpurinim matter. What happened? You know, we've discussed a number of times, whether it was in Parash B'Shalach, or whether it was on Pesach, that in Betes Yisrael, we say that Hayom Ro'o Vayonois. The sea saw something and ran away. And the Balei Tosfos explained what happened was, is the Malach of the Yam saw the Shekhinah coming and thought that was its end and tried to come back and run away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, you don't need to run away. It's my servant Moshe who I have come with. And although he came to you initially with the Matar Elohim B'Yodeh when he came to to the Yom Sof, and he put the matter which had on it the Tzachadash Ba'achav and the Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he stretched that out over the Yom, and he told you to spit, and you said, you're a human being, but I have a tzibur from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Misheshish Shemei Bereshish, that I'm not allowed to spit, and therefore I did not split, and I'm not going to split. So Moshe Rabbeinu went back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Horeim es matcho, put the stick aside, as if put my signet ring away. And stretch out your hand over the sea. And the Bali Tosis give a marshal. They said there was a king who had a minister who was recuperating from an illness. And he asked him, is it okay if I go and take a walk in your orchards and smell the aromas and to eat from some of the fruits? And that will help me to recuperate. And the king said, no problem. One thing is, when you get there to the gate, there's a guard. But take my signet ring, take my ring, show it to him and tell him, I've given you permission to enter. The minister went along. He comes to the guard, and the guard says, I'm sorry, signet ring or no signet ring, you're not going in. The king's told me not to let anyone in. I don't know whether you've stolen that ring, I don't know whether it's counterfeit, I cannot let you in. So the minister, forlorn, goes back to the king. The king says to him, no problem, give me the ring, let's put the ring aside. I myself am going to come with you. And he comes down, and the showman, the guard, sees the king coming, and he thinks, oh, baby, it was the king who sent him, and now this is my end. So the guard starts to run away, and the king shouts to him, Malacho kisonos, we don't need to run away. You've done exactly what you were told to do. And you were correct in not allowing that person in. I want to just tell you that from now on, this friend of mine, treat him like you were to treat me. Whatever he requests from you to do for him. Says the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Moshe Rabbeinu went to the Yam with his matter, so to speak, with the matter Elohim, the signet ring of HaKadosh Baruch, and said, split. And the Yam said, I'm sorry, I'm guarding the waters and I've been told to continue to float. So Moshe Rabbeinu went to daven to HaKadosh Baruch, and HaKadosh Baruch said, Horei matcho, put aside, let me loshen truma, put aside your matter, put it away. You don't need my signet ring. I am going to come with you myself. HaKadosh Baruch came, and the malach of the water saw the HaKadosh Baruch coming and realized that this may be his end. His kaviyach started to run away. HaKadosh Baruch said, Malacho kison, malacho ayom kisonos. You have no need to run away. You've done correctly what you're meant to have done. And therefore it was told to Moshe Rabbeinu, Horeim es matcho, put aside your matter, unetei yodcho al hayom, put only your yad, put only your hand on the yam. People should see that it's you. People should have a munah in you that you're the one that caused Kriyas Yam Suf. That all happened 40 years ago, when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim. By now, the only people who are still alive from then are anyone who was under the age of 20. That means the majority of Klal Yisrael, anyone 40 and under, wasn't even there. Anyone above 40, but below 60, would have been there, may not remember. Most of them won't remember. And there were many people in Klal Yisrael who had heard about Kriyas Yam Suf, but were wondering, maybe it was, says the Kriyaka, maybe just like all the other nisim happened with that matter, this happened as well, and it's not Moshe Rabbeinu, it's the matter. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to reinforce Emunah and Moshe Rabbeinu here at Meir Meriba. And therefore he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, don't hit it with your matter this time. I want you to go and speak Divrei Torah. With your words, let people see. Shnei Olah Posek Echad. Go and talk to it and they'll see. And tell it. V'nosa Meimov. Just like this mate of Aaron, last week's parasha, from being a completely dried out piece of wood, it accumulated moisture because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told it to do so. So too I am telling you, and there will be a new V'yaminu B'Hashem of Moshe Ardoi. But Moshe Rabbeinu went, and instead over here of saying that Moshe, Horei mes matron et yodcho, it says, Vayore Moshe es yodei, complete forget, Moshe Rabbeinu took aside his hand, Vayaches asela b'mateu, and here he went and he hit it with his matter, and therefore the Emunah in Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't reinstilled. Hence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them, Yan loyhe mantem bilakdishin. You had an opportunity here to reinforce Emunah in Gedoli Yisrael, in Manhige Yisrael, and that was lost. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen were culpable for that. It's a dakas dikachet. But what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had wanted them to do, he had told them to take them, which matter he told them to take, not the matter. Moshe Rabbeinu always went with it, but that wasn't the one that he was meant to use of it. Take the other one, let people see. And you'll tell the rock, just like this matter in last week's parasha, from being a dried out piece of wood, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it, because it came close to Kedusha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it moist and things grow out of it. So too, the rock, a dried rock will know that it can produce water. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and if the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is said to it, and it's the closeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is spoken by it, Divrei Torah, that will happen. But it didn't happen. Hence, Moshe Rabbeinu, in the middle, calls them Moirim, because this was meant to be, La'ois Livnei Meri, it should have been Uschal Tlunoisom, but it never happened. The Kriyaka ends off with an amazing thing.
That was all Kriyoka.
The Kriyoka together with the Mayim Bisasheva. The Kriyoka ends off with an amazing thing. The Kriyoka says, I'll just read his words. V'chol maskil yishtoimim al hamare. Anyone who's perceptive will be astounded at picturing the sight that happened at the cellar, at the rock. V'chisela ze einei bosor loy. Does this cellar have eyes like a human being? V'aloi kotim v'godol shem hu hakol chado. Shem hu hakol chado. V'eich dimo yisoy lenar. He's questioning how can the Yalkut compare the stone to a young person? Because the Yalkut says, "V'dibartem el asera, v'hikisem loy ne'mar elo v'dibartem." The Yalkut says, they were told, "Don't hit it." They were told, "Speak." Kishanar koton raboy melamdoy umachyoy soy. When a child is younger, when a nar is a koton, his rebbe may teach him and may even hit him. Kivin shehigdil, once he's grown up, v'dibur hu miyasoy. With words, he chastises him. Kach omar kodesh baruch hu lemoshe. When the cellar was small, in those days, in the beginning, you hit it. Now that it has grown, going on the pasuk in Mishlei, which says, someone who's a maven, you can talk to them and give them teichacha, rather than hitting a ksil where you would hit him 100 times. Says the Kliyokar, Vadai ina kavana kimela nimshul. The kavana over here is not that the seller was a nar and now it's become a zokin, or the seller was young and therefore you could hit it, and now it's become older and therefore you have to talk to it. That's not the rock. It was a mushal for Klal Yisrael. And what is the nimshul? She Yisrael yilmudu mizeh, ki yesh hevdel bein ha-musa shebaal peh uvein ha-musa shebeshevet ha-noiges. Ki besura machriach yoshev lesuroi. Come on. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to tell us, there's two ways you can chastise someone. You can either go and hit them, or you can talk to them. Hitting them doesn't need to be physically hitting them. Sometimes you can hit them with words as well. But says the Kriyoka, Chazal tell us and guarantee us, if that's the approach that we take with someone who's a maven, with someone who's perceptive, someone who knows, hitting them will make them maybe conform as long as they're being hit. That as soon as they're finished being hit, they'll go back to exactly what they were doing. It's not gonna have an effect. The only effect it will have is with the baritim, is where you go and you speak, and you talk, and you work it through. Then it will work. But hitting, and I mean hitting with words as well, doesn't just mean, it's gotta be spoken words. It's gotta be a language that the Nar understands, and a language that he can feel is being spoken to him, rather than him being hit, because that's not gonna help at all. Rav Moshe Feinstein asks, at the end of the day, what is the big difference whether they hit the rock or they spoke to the rock? At the end of the day, it's a rock. A rock is a dried out rock. It doesn't give water. So what's the difference whether you hit it or you speak to it? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much for they should speak to it. When they hit it as well, is that not a phenomenal nes? That out of that, and the Medrash tells us more, that when Moshe Rabbeinu actually hit it, not only did that rock produce water, all the rocks in the vicinity in the Midbar started to flow with water. So is that not an ace that they had to go and speak to? What's the big difference? V'nireh shu'ula hayreish shetzorich ledaber divrei Torah u'musar af lemi she'eino mevinim. Says the Moreh Shafanshen, a slightly different gedank. This comes to tell us that even if you have a rock, and even if you have a rock that's dried out of Torah, a mushal for a person who doesn't understand anything, but still, one should speak to them, divrei Torah and divrei Musar, sheyove mizeh sheyovinu. Eventually, they'll understand. Ve'yedu me'roiv ha'limud ve'lo yisiyai sha'odom minachanich bonom mishum she'nir lo she'enom mevinim elo tzorich lo'im alohem b'chol eis ad sheyovinu v'yekayim. Just like a stone looks like it's dried out and there's nothing in it, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, go speak to it. And kol she'kein to people, even though it may look at to us now like they don't understand, speaking words of Torah, but it's got to be speaking. It can't be hitting. Hitting Torah into someone who I think has got no Torah in them and trying to give them Musa by hitting them, whether it's physically or with words, and worse with words, it ain't going to have an effect. Because all that will happen is, maybe they'll conform whilst they're being hit. But guarantees us, Chazal, as soon as they finish being hit, Yachzeh l'surah. But if you debar them, when you speak to them, and you're able to talk it through, then you're able to have an everlasting and much stronger effect. One of the other unfortunate circumstances that happened in this week's parasha was the death of Aaron HaKohen. When Aaron HaKohen was Nifter, was Rosh Chodesh Av of that year, we know that Ananei HaKovid left Klal Yisrael, and resulting from which the Amalekim came once again to fight Klal Yisrael. They changed their speech and dialect to sound like Canaanim, so that Klal Yisrael should daven for Canaanim. Klal Yisrael heard them speaking like Canaanim, and saw them dressed like Amalekim. So they davened, whoever it is, we should be nimsa into their hands. After Aaron HaKohen was nifted, it says, Vayivku es Aaron kol beis Yisrael. Everyone from Klal Yisrael cried for Aaron HaKohen. It tells us, why was it everyone? Because Aaron HaKohen was the person who made Shalom, bin al Nachavir, bin Ishle Ishle, and therefore everyone cried for Aaron HaKohen. Says the Meshech Chochma, when it says Vayivku es Aaron, it says that it was kol beis Yisrael, that tells us there hadn't been a single person throughout the 40 years that Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar who killed B'Shogeg. Because had someone killed B'Shogeg, we know from Parashas Mishpatim, that Moshe Rabbeinu was told to set aside Ori Miklot in the Midbar as well. Meaning that Machane Levio would be koilet for someone who killed B'Shogeg. And if someone had killed B'Shogeg, when the Kohen Gadol dies, he can go back home. Had someone during the time in the Midbar killed B'Shogeg and been sent to Golos in Machane Levio, then when Aaron HaKohen would have been nifted, they would have been delighted. Yet it says that Kol Beis Yisrael were upset about Aaron HaKohen being Nifter to tell us that not a single person had killed B'Shogeg in the Midbar. And that tells us as well that Aaron HaKohen was the exemplary Kohen Gadol. Because the Mishnah in Maseches Makkos tells us, why is the Kohen Gadol responsible? And if they die for him to die, the people inside would die for him to die, then he would, yeah, he's culpable. And that's why the mothers of the Kohen Gadolim would send special food and gift packages to the people. They shouldn't die for their sons, shouldn't daven for their sons to die. Ask the Gemara, and if they would daven, what would happen? Yeah, they're culpable, because they should have davened that no one should have killed during their time of being Kohen Gadol. But it says Aaron HaKohen was Taka the Spitz Kohen Gadol. And Taka, no one died during the entire time that Aaron HaKohen was Kohen Gadol. And therefore, when he was Nifter, there was no one in Golos, and no one in Machane Levio, and everyone davened, everyone was distressed and upset and cried about the death of Aaron HaKohen. It says further the Meshech Chochma, that it tells us that Kol Beis Yisrael, doesn't say Kol Bnei Yisrael, but Kol Beis Yisrael. Why? And the terminology that's normally used is Beis Yisrael. Why is Bnei Yisrael? Why over here does it say that the Beis Yisrael cried, the households? Seeming to mean maybe the head of the household didn't cry. And he says, yeah, we're talking over here in the 40th year that Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. As we know from the Gemara in Baba Basra, every year on Tisha B'Av, all the people who at the time of the Meraglim were between the ages of 20 and 60, when it came to Tisha B'Av, in every year they were in the Midbar, Moshe Rabbeinu told them all to dig a grave and lie in it that night. And the next morning, anyone who woke up and saw the daylight sky knew that they had been spared that year. And 15,000 people were nifted every year. Came this last year, the expectation was that the last 15,000 were going to be nifted. Gerada, they weren't. We need to talk about that maybe perhaps nearer Tisha B'Av, what happened. But they were slated, they understood that they were going to die this coming year. When Aaron HaKohen was nifted, for them, it was a consoling event. Because they knew that they were being buried where a Gadol HaDor was being buried. And so to speak, it's the Moshel for HaKadosh Baruch Hu would therefore give them Tchiyas HaMeisim together with Aaron HaKohen. And the Moshel of a merchant or a prince who's dropped a few stones on the floor. So he'll drop a diamond so that when he bends down to pick up the diamond, he'll pick up the other stones with it as well. And they felt that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come by Tchiyas HaMeisim and he'll take back Aaron HaKohen, Aaron HaKohen's chus will schlep them back with them, and therefore there's a chus of being buried with a gadol, and they were actually quite happy. However, the children and the women who were not slated to die in the Midbar, they were going to go into Eretz Yisrael, for them it was Taka Bechir, and that was the Beis Yisrael, the households of Klal Yisrael, Taka cried for Aaron HaKohen. But the rest of Klal Yisrael, Taka didn't, the other 15,000 weren't upset, they didn't cry, that Aaron HaKohen had been Nifter, because for them they thought that it would result in them having the Yeshua of Tchiyas HaMeisim together with Aaron HaKohen. Right at the end of the parasha, or should we say towards the end of the parasha, we're told about an event that Klal Yisrael experienced that they were not aware of, and they were only made aware of later on. Klal Yisrael were about to go through Nachal Arnon, which was a short passageway between two mountains, a valley, a very, a very, very a deep valley between two tall crevices on either side, and they were going to walk through it. And the Kenaniim had gone into the caves above with the intention of hurling on top of them boulders and missiles, and Klal Yisrael would have been then in a position where there was no way of escape. They would have been dead ducks waiting to be shot, waiting to be killed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that before Klal Yisrael came there, the two mountains, which one had bits that were jutting out that fitted directly into the crevices that were on the other side, and it quashed and squashed the Kenaniim who were hiding there with the intention of killing Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael were oblivious to this event. After that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went, moved the mountains aside so that Klal Yisrael could continue on the path that they had intended to go on, or where the Onan was taking them, and they were unaware at all of what had happened. It was only because of the Be'er, which they now had back, that went and took a little detour in order to bring about and bring the limbs and the blood of the people that had been killed, that Klal Yisrael understood that this has been brought by the Be'er, this is a message for us, and there must be something that has happened over here from which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu told them, and they were aware of the nature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had for them, and they sung Shira. That Shira was a unique type of Shira, a different Shira to what happened by Oz Yosher. By Oz Yosher we were aware of what had happened. Okay, Klal Yisrael there, perhaps weren't aware when they were going through the Yom Suf about the Nes, they thought the Mitzrayim was still high and dry. Once they'd seen, then they appreciated and they said, oh, we've seen the Yeshua, we've seen it with our own eyes, we sing Shira. Over here, Klal Yisrael have gone to another level, another Madrega. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given them a Yeshua, but the Yeshua, they actually didn't see the Yeshua beforehand. They saw the results from it. Again, then when they saw those results, and they sang Shira. But that is for us, both times, the Oz Yoshir. Then they suddenly happened to them, and Yoshir we will continue singing in the future. That means that for us, we have to look at those events that happened to Klal Yisrael. At the time, they didn't understand what was happening. One time, they were still afraid that their tormentors were after them by Mitzrayim. In this place, they weren't even aware that there were tormentors there. Yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved them. And Yoshir, in the future, that means that we have to sing every morning when we say Hamichin Mitzadei Gover, because there are things that we are aware of, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has led us in certain ways, that we've been spared from particular things. And there's other things where, like Lo Nachal Aranoim, we may be walking along a way, we've been taking certain paths, but we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's Mechim Mitzadei Gover, because we don't even know what they are, but we believe Be'emunah Shleima that there's a Shira that we're singing every morning, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leading us to be able to do that which is His Rotzon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us Siyata Dishmaya and Zchus, that we should taka be guided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every way that we go, like the Anan Yaakov guided Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. And Chazal tell us that like the Anan Yaakov guided Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, we have guides that guide us every single day by virtue of the mitzvahs that we keep. And they equate, the Svasemes equates the mitzvah of tzitzis with the Anan Yaakov. Tzitzis for us are like our Anan Yaakov. They bring us a certain shmira, and they guard us, and that is the meichin mitzadei gover, the bit that we do, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take a guide us. We should have this chus as well, to see the Yeshuas, and understand, that we should be able to see, and understand, and appreciate the Yeshuas, and everything that's preceded them, and understand why it brought, and how it brought to the Yeshua.